in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 23, when the Bible is making mention of the mighty men of David, that was when I found out that God was actually taking account. You will not know. You will think everybody is the same until the day of reckoning. That is when you will find out that men are stratified. We began to see rank even amongst the mighty men. There are men that didn't make it amongst the rank of the mighty men, but even them that made it, they were ranked. Some of them in the 300, some of them in the 100, some of them in the 30, some of them in the 3. Then there is ones in charge of the 3s and the 30s and the 100s. These men didn't just come. They were forged at Adullam. That's where they were forged. It was at Adullam that they were taught that when a man steps into war, he doesn't just come with his weapon, he comes with his altars. Because that was what their master learned. When he contended with Goliath, Goliath looked at David, a small boy that just has small spear. Goliath told him, I come against you with the gods of Philistia. I thought the contention is with book against book. I thought it's present your CV, I present my CV. Goliath took the warfare from the natural and invoked the gods of the Philistia. David went back and said, me too, I'm a priest. He knew a God in the secret. Even though he was looking small in the natural, but he's a giant, he's a young ancient. The dimensions of the spirit he has trapped has made him older than his elders. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Most High giveth him understanding. In the days that elders in the natural face, young men will arise with the strange dimension of the workings of the ancient spirit, manifesting through their vessels, countering the works of darkness that has lasted in the land for long, because they were at Adullam. You seek your place. Can you play it? Oh, secret place. Secret place. I just want you to pick. You can be seated. We are not in Port Harcourt. We are hidden in the secret place of the Most High. That's where men are forged in the crucibles of the spirit. When they come out there, even their body literally will be sparking with energy. When you go back in the bus, if you touch somebody, he will shout fire because of what you have collided with. That's where those men were made, because their master learned that even though you are going to work in the morning, others are coming with their vehicle, coming with their pen and paper. You are coming with your altar. All the paraphernalia of the secret place, the angels of war, the angels of the presence, you carry them into your workplace. When you enter there are three people in the room, but people will be saying, this room is stuffy. This room is stuffy. Do you know why? A battalion and a host entered with you. This room is stuffy. Sometimes you just finish praying in the office. Work starts by 8, you come by 7. And then when you come, you find one corner. I culture this place. I culture this room. I culture this place in the Holy Ghost. I culture this room. I culture this office. When you have tarried for 1 hour and then you stop, when they come to work, they enter the room, they say, what is burning? What is burning? Something is burning in this room. Tell them, yes, you burn the incense. When you burn incense in a room, won't it be smelling like burn? Something is burning in this room. Tell them it's your prayer that is burning. Something is burning. What is burning? Go and off the gas. Something is burning. When they ask you what is burning, tell him you are burning incense. Because on the day that David met Goliath, he thought, because Goliath is a giant, that what made those big men, what made them powerful, is their money. No, in the night, many of them run naked. They go and do their charm. So it's not because they are big. What their confidence is in their altars. So when they want to contend against you, they don't come with their money. They come with their altars, the gods of Philistines. So when David landed, he said, I come against you too with the God of the angel armies. He said, I'm not the one that you have castigated. It is the very God of Israel, him and his armies. You have made him look small. And God said, who is this guy that knows intelligence in the spirit? Who is this young man that knows how to speak words with wisdom? And when he spoke, the very man of war himself, because we are not the men of war, we are weapons in his hands. Jehovah is the man of war. So when he arose, he stood like this. Said, who beckoned on me? Who summoned me? Who summoned me? Who summoned me? When they summoned him, he now rose up. When he rose up, he came to that place. They summoned him. And David learned. Remember, his father's sons, they were busy gymming in the, they were doing gymming. I'm not saying it's bad though. They are adding flesh in the natural. David is learning priesthood intelligence. He was learning priesthood intelligence. So when that man appeared and began to speak, he knew it was a battle of words, that he cannot keep silent, that the worst thing that can happen to him now is for him to stop speaking. So he said, I come against you too. When God rose up, suddenly Goliath looks small. Suddenly the man brought out the accuracy of his training. He knew that a sling can bring down Goliath. You are the one that is pitying David. He doesn't need your pity. You be saying, look at the giant that this Goliath, that this David is. This boy, hey, let him take. Look at the way he's challenging. Stop pitying him. You don't pity apostolic territorial controllers and commanders. Prophetic territorial changer. You don't pity them. They are heavy men in the spirit. It is not by physical size. Once he came, he knew the stone to bring out, put it on a sling, and sent it. You think it's by luck? It's not by luck. There is nothing by, like luck in the spirit. What we have is skill. Do you have the skill? It was there that David learned the way of war and the intelligence that follows it. So when he brought his men at Adullam, the first thing he taught them is priesthood. It doesn't matter whether you are a banker, you must learn priesthood. Are you a governor? You must learn priesthood. Are you a fashion designer? Priesthood first. Because many people come and tell me that this kind of prayer is for pastors. We that is called into business, who told you are called into business? You are a priest, my friend. Nobody should be in business that doesn't know how to pray. Prayer is not for pastors. Prayer is for men ought always to pray. Did he say pastors? Did he say men of God? What did he say? Are you a man? Then you must pray. Every man must learn priesthood, because a day will come, you will have to call upon your priesthood intelligence, even in the place of your business and work, so that you can be able to arise in the spirit. when men come with the powers of their priesthood and they are trying to manipulate the outcome of your destiny, will you even understand? Will you understand that it is priesthood that they are engaging? You will think it's about another promotional exam that somebody is doing witch hunt on you. Is priesthood. You can come in a place and you will think that all of you are workers. A warlock is there, a witch is there, and is manipulating the outcome of things, the scheme of things. Your manager will like you, but as soon as he looks upon that person, he will begin to do another thing. It is because the man understands priesthood intelligence. You too have to rise as a priest with the attendant intelligence and the skills in the spirit to begin to demystify and deconstruct the works of darkness. Are you with me? So when David said, I am thirsty for the water that is at well at Bethlehem. How many of you have read it? He said, I'm thirsty. I want to drink. I'm thirsty. I want to drink. I'm thirsty. These men came out and they said they want to go. How can a man do that? This is the headquarters of the garrison of the Philistines. The only man that can attempt such thing, because it's suicide mission. The only men that can attempt such a thing are men that have died already. It's only dead men that can carry higher layers of God's divine glory. Dead men. Dead men. Dead men. Men that have died to the appetite of the flesh and the manifestations of self. If you still want to build something for yourself, you will touch. There are kinds you can't carry. It will kill you. The Bible said no flesh shall glory in the presence of God. Huh? The Bible said, the voice told me to cry. He said, what should I cry? He said, cry that all flesh is grass. He said, why? Why is all flesh grass? He said, because the ruach, the breath of God is upon them. When the ruach comes, it cripples everything that is in the flesh. And everything that is powered by the flesh, that layer, no, it has to go down. So when David said, "Who will go to Bethlehem?" It's not people will be going aside. Men are hustling; they are hustling for the strongest mission. While others are choosing, they are looking to be posted to a good place. They are looking to be posted to a good parish. Men, the mighty men of David, they are not looking for a comfortable parish to go and preach. They are looking for where they will look at Satan face to face. So that they will chronicle their name in the book of the words of God. I will show you. There is a book called the book of the words of God. Numbers chapter 21. That is where the words of God were chronicled. And on that day, men were players. Men were in the chessboard. And God was the one that, is your name there? There is the book of words. When we go to heaven, when rank and territories will be allotted to men. So these men knew it's not about how long you lived upon earth. They lived and died and gave birth. No, it's not how many years, it's how many life. It's the life in the years that matter. It's not the years that you stayed. How much life do you carry? How much life did you dispense? Paul will say, I will spend and be spent. That means Paul is a currency. How much are you worth in the spirit? If we convert you as a currency for heaven to spend, how much can we buy? How many souls? How many lands and territories and nations can be bought by the currency that is embedded in the soul and the investment that is in the life of a man? Some of you can't even buy your family. Your family doesn't believe in what you are doing. Your friends, your roommate, they don't believe. And some of you are saying, use me, Lord. Use you to do what? Use you to buy akara. We are looking for nations. Nations. Spend me and buy nations. And this man tarried at Adullam. So when this man went, they went there, they knew that they are dead. That's why they can't be killed. Can you kill a man that has died? I didn't hear you. Can you kill a man that has already died? The reason why people die is because they are afraid of their life. Meanwhile, Jesus said, if you are afraid of dying here, you might lose your life. But any man that is not afraid of dying will not die. He said, even if you die, I will raise you up on the last day. If you are with me, say amen.
Secret place.
Keep me there. Keep cooking me. Listen. You know, when we say cooking, but maybe your friend is already done. Do you know why? He's popcorn. If you are beans, don't be looking at popcorn. So sometimes popcorn has already done pop, 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 but beans is still there.
Why? But why?
So your friend quickly went out and laid hands on one person, laid hands on two, and they fell down. And they are doing like this, they fell down. He's not doing like man of God, but God kept you there. Because there are seven people you must raise from the dead in 21 days. So he has to keep you in the place where the faith for raising the dead is being concocted. It's a complex, complex, pungent, pressurized mixture. Hot coctic lictic cocktail. When you take it, it has the capacity to burn down everything. Burn down all doubt and unbelief in your system. When you see a dead man, you look at him and say, he's sleeping, and turn back. Look at him and say, he's sleeping. Give him clothes, let him follow us to church. And you start going back. And the dead man will follow you back to church. And they will now come and ask, how do you do it? They didn't know when you are at Adulam. Hi-ya-oh, hi-ya-oh. Secret place. Hi-ya-oh, hi-ya-oh. You are a sister here and God is cooking you. And he wants to use you to raise other sisters. Brutal sisters. That can stare in the face of wretchedness. And begin to rescue other sisters. And ladies from there. Help them. And when they see you where God is cooking you, they will say, why is a lady praying like this? They will tell you, pray like a lady. Behave like a lady. Be praying like this. Just stay like this. And then you eat your popcorn and take your ice cream. And continue. You cannot use that and bring down a principality. Give me something heavy. Give me. In Jesus' name. So when these men came out, it was when they came back. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen. When these men came back from the war at Bethlehem, he said, you need. It was there that we begin to understand the system by which they were able to conquer in that battle at Bethlehem. Are you with me? There is a secret that they learned at Adullam. It was there that we found out the secret. So when they sent them to Bethlehem, they did not go there. Are you with me? Pay attention. They did not go there just with the skills of their sword. As I told you yesterday, the power and energy of their engagement was traced to their soul. Their soul was tied to their weapon. How did I know? The Bible said that when they came back, and gave David the water to drink, Do you know the utterance of David? The utterance of David is revelatory. He gave us understanding of how the warfare was executed. Huh? He took the water, poured it on the ground, and said that this is the blood of this young man. At what point? Are you with me? Oh. Oh, secret place. Haya, oh, haya. Oh, Adulam. Haya, oh, haya. Listen. At what point did the water turn to blood? The fresh water, David said, this is not water. This is the blood of this young man. It takes priesthood intelligence for you to understand that water is no more water. That is blood. You are not getting my point. It takes priesthood intelligence to know that there is this, the way we pray here, that is not sweat that is coming out. It's blood, my friend. But men, they don't know. They look at it, they say, these men are sweating. Sweating what? The Bible says when Jesus prayed at Gethsemane, the sweat coming out from him is like bowls of blood. It takes priesthood intelligence to know that these men journeyed to Bethlehem not with their sword, they journeyed with their blood. And when David looked at it, he said that this is not water, this is the blood of this young man. This is not prayer, this is bloodshed. That's what we do here when we grow. We shed blood. Huh? And then when he rises to heaven, some people will just call it prayer. It's beyond prayer, my friend. Men are soaked in the pool of their blood. And you say it's their sweat. It's not their sweat. It's their blood. It takes priesthood intelligence for you to interpret the meaning of that sweat in that hour. A young lady that is just 21 years old, she will come and groan until her clothes is soaked to 10 degrees. And she's boiling. And you say she's praying. She is not praying. She's pouring her blood. It's so travail. The life blood is being poured out. And when we come to the scales that trap sacrifices in heaven, when we measure the prayer in scales, it will be landing in kilograms. The kilowatts of divine energy will be channeled from heaven. In response to the prayer of a young lady, and you say she's praying, by priesthood intelligence we understand that it's not mere prayer, it is blood that is being shed. So when we come for prayer, we are not just coming to pray, we come to shed blood. When we come for warfare, we take the mode, Isaiah chapter 9, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with the burning and fuel of fire. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, garments soaked in blood. So when you see the man sweating, it's not heat, it's blood that is coming. So when you hold him and he's praying, he prays. It's not the voice, it's the blood. He's pouring blood in the soul of the land. And one day he will rise and command the land to obey, and the land will obey. Because the land can feel the impact of his sacrifices. Not just come and pray any kind of prayer. There are prayers that are sacrifices that can thunder with voice in the spirit. And when there is need for recompense, that voice will come up. That blood will speak from the ground. A day will come and the land will be called to bear witness. When it is time for legislation in heavenly places, you can call the land to be a witness. You say, land, oh land, come and bear witness against the enemy, against the powers of darkness. Why? Because my blood is in this ground, though. Just like they spoke about Abel. God told Cain, the blood of your brother crieth unto me from where? The ground. The ground drank the blood of young men. Look at young men here. And we have been groaning, traveling. And the ground is drinking our blood. It's not sweat, it's blood. A day will come when we rise, we tell the land we want to take over. And then the land can't say no, because of the blood we have poured in. Oh, secret place. Higher, oh, Adonai. Higher, oh, secret place. Oh, Adonai. Goodness. Help them, help them. Inside, outside. Hold the hands of your neighbor. Let's pray for 2 minutes. It's time to bring blood. The man of Fatima. It's time to go to Bethlehem. Let's fetch water.
Grown babies thinking they are anything. If indeed we are something, we would have changed the topography of our territory. In my days, don't worry, we will continue praying, we will continue consecrating, we will continue using ourselves. In my days, God will look from heaven and we have a man. God will have a man in my days. And I raise a cry and alarm. If there be many amongst us that will join the ranks, let them raise their voice and cry. Put me the number. Teach me now, no later. Chisel me now, no later. Allow me to learn. Make my mistakes now. The palace comet. The throne comet. We must be ready for that day. You are not praying well. Cry is a cry. Cry is a cry. Don't leave me like this. My training is insufficient. My dealings are insufficient. My endowments and equipment is insufficient. Take me to the quarry. Keep me there. Chisel me. Mold me. And they looked upon them and said, these men have been with Jesus. Oh, after this season, our lives are living. We be a testimony of the days that has come by, how much we have yielded ourselves to the training process of the Holy Ghost, how much we have aligned ourselves to the release of heaven, how much we have coordinated ourselves to the movement of the Spirit. Our heart has been cultured, our mind has been transformed, and our wings have been made strong. We can fly. Hey! We groan and pray so that we can wait in the Spirit. Oh my God, the day is coming. We demand much from us. We need weight. We need to be heavy. You need to be heavy. You need to be heavy. When you land on the scales, your weight will be high in the heavens of God. Thank you. worship that you are weaponized. You are weaponized. You master your weapons. You master your gifts and endowment. You master your grace. You master your oppression. You master your dimension.
Sister just told me this afternoon that all the prayers she has been praying in the family, why are things still happening wrong? I told her, with all due respect, you are proud. You overestimate your prayer. Some of the things that has lasted for 200 years, with your inconsistent prayer life for the last 3 years, you are saying, why has things not changed? Are you not proud? The prayer you are praying, you are not even consistent in it. Show me Mark chapter 6, verse 7. I just want to pick something there. And I want a few people that want to pray with me. We can't be many. We can't be more than 10 that want to pray. What do you think? Once I notice you are not, you don't want to pray, I will just send you to the back. You notice the people, some of the people at the back, they are just walking like it is. And the reason why I didn't say anything is that there are new faces. If I find an old face here and you are not praying, I will send you out. I will give you transport money. I'm not sent to everybody. You have your church and they are the same year after year. Since you are here, you need to abide. You need to crack the code of prayerlessness. There is a code that needs to crack. Your soul needs to obey to the powers of immortality. When the Spirit helps a man, you will know. That day you don't feel like. That's the day you. Let me test how Spirit helps a man. Look at this scripture. And the Bible says, and he called them. We'll just pray for 2 minutes. And he called them. And he called unto him the 12. And he began to send them forth. What? I didn't hear you. How many? Look around for somebody that has been praying. Face to face, find somebody that will ascend with you. 2 by 2. Face to face. 2 by 2. Face to face. 2 by 2. Face to face. Listen to me. One last instruction before you continue. Listen. Listen. There is a compound reaction. That's what we want to bring. So as you are praying, hold the person. You vow. That's the way I pray in my heart. I vow. I'm not going to leave this my prayer partner. Until we bank open the gate of heaven. See, the reason why I'm here is because I don't like hearing he can't do it. It can't happen. Can it happen? That it can't is the reason why I'm here. Everything in
that is stopping you from pressing into the new realm. Hold that your neighbor. Don't leave the person. I don't know how long your own will take.
Fire star. Somebody pray. If you are following me online, find a neighbor, find a neighbor.
It's time to pray.
Oh spirit, a hungry generation has appeared and they need to pray, they need to press, they need to touch something, they need to crack open the gate of ordination, the gate of destiny.
Sister, pray!
Yeah. matter.
We are shifting realm now. Aha! Volunteer! Dr. Samuel! In Jesus' name, listen. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Lord, grant me the privilege that after how many years I will live on this earth, my greatest privilege will be that prayer will be on my lips and I will sleep. I will be offered through prayer. Grant me, oh God. My generation must pray. Have those sisters there. Listen to me, listen. So many of you have been functioning at the same prayer realm, prayer level for too long. You need to shift realm. There is no pecking. You have to put your head there. Let me tell you, when you shift realm in prayer, what you will affect, you can affect more. Ayona! Aha! Prayer merchants! Beings of prayer! There are enough structures! I'm watered with prayer. Be prayed on their nostrils. Send incense to the throne of God. Ayona! It's time. It's time to pray. Jesus said, listen to me. My feet is no more touching the ground. Hey! Aha! Sister, you cannot be normal. The advantage you have is in the spirit. In Jesus' name, listen. Let's read this with all of our hearts. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I found out that many things people call answer to prayer is actually realities of some realms. When you enter there, you stop praying it. You will find out, as you would have noticed in a small measure, that there were things that were your prayer points. When you entered a realm, those things began to happen. You have forgotten that you even prayed. You have stopped praying about it as prayer points. Yet they were answered. You enter the place.
I will pray. Scripture together. 1, 2, ready, go. Remove that thing that they put them and put your name there. So put your name there. Let's read it one more time. 1, 2, ready, go. Now listen, where they added them, amen, put your name, call your name there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, leave your neighbor, leave your neighbor. You have tried. Kita also nyen isi onwe. That she is your sister, it's over now. So one way, so one way. Aha! Listen to me. I feel as if we are thousands. We are not alone. Nobody can do this thing normal. You can't do it normal. You can't do it no more. One more time, put your name where they put them. Amen. Are you ready? Be serious. This is prophetic action. Are you ready now? 1, 2, ready, go. Some people still said them, they did not put their name. Let's go one more time. Why am I fainting? Why? 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 Oh God, crack the code of prayerlessness. Help the woman with child. Listen, your prayer will be simple in the next 1 minute. Listen to me. According to Elijah and many of the patriarchs, anytime God wants to recover his inheritance, recover his people, recover anything that Satan has stolen, the first thing God must recover is your altar. You must agree that the first place you were weak was in the place of prayer. Problems we can find in Christendom can be traced to the prayer altar. Either the people are praying selfish prayers and heaven decided to ignore them, or they are not willing to go far enough. Where did David enter? He said, let the lifting of my hands be like incense. And then my prayer come as incense, and the lifting up of my hands, evening sacrifice. Now let me explain to you what the man is saying. He's saying, come here, Joshua, come here. He's saying, if I adjust my tie, let it mean something on the heavenly altar. If I do my eye like this, let it mean something. You don't know. If I do, let it mean something. If I do, let it mean something. If I do like this, let it mean something. He's trying to ask God, is there a way you can galvanize and monopolize everything about me and make it a material of prayer, equipment of prayer? Paraphernalias. Listen, we are going to beg God for that. Oh, help the sister. Let it be that when I wave my hand like this, let it mean something. Let it not just be I wave my hand and my hand is paining me. No. We ask you, oh God, when we wave our hand, let nations fall with it. Listen, you are going to pray now. I heard a sound in the spirit. You are going to pray. You will drive yourself here. And God said there are 14 people he wants to lift up. There will be sudden lifting. Your prayer is simple. Carry me, Holy Ghost. Carry me to that realm. You have 1 minute. Hey! We are the prayer machines.
say you are not alone. You are a prayer machine.
First Samuel 14, quickly. Let's see verse 4. First Samuel 14, verse 4. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. Seems as if there is a call to take garrison. Our prayer is simple. There is a call to take garrison. Is this what you are preparing us to do? Many of you will realize your own now. It's time to add more stars to your rank. Listen to the scripture. Watch. And the name of one was Boaz, and the name of the other, Sene. These are spiritual language, but I don't have time to analyze it. Next verse, verse 5. The front of one faced northward, opposite Michmash. They are describing a rock with all these names. And the other one, southward, opposite Gibeah. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, come, come. Said to the young man, come, 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 come. Oh, young man, come, come, come. I need 50 people that will join me in this prayer. Watch, look at the scripture. Look at it. I want to show you what. The statement that this man made is what is important. He said, come, let us go over to the garrison of those uncircumcised. It may be, we are not aware, but it may be that the Lord will work for us. It may be, but there is no way for we to know until we go. That's the summary of what you have heard. There is no way to know. Listen, look at what he said. For nothing restrains the Lord. Nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or saving by only you. Lord, I stretch myself in the spirit by my travels and growth. Let territories of families, of lands and nations be saved. It may be that the Lord will work for us. The only way to be sure is to engage. I engage. Oh my God, I engage. It may be that God wants to rescue your family. It may be that he wants to work in your family. It may be. We never know. There is only one way to know. Let's try the one we have. Let's test the one we have. Let's not wait for more. Let's test it. Put it to work. 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 Oh, what happened? Or you can be following us online. It may be. We never know. This might be the moment that the Lord wants to walk. The thing you are postponing and say, let God will walk. It may be that God wants to enter your family now. Enter the territory. It may be that the Lord wants to walk in Africa, walk in US, walk in Nigeria. Walk, hit it. By the anointing. By the anointing. Equip us with your anointing. Let's enter the level. Drama. Let the anointing flow from your hands.
Come on.
Somebody tell Choma she has not started praying. Thank you.
In Jesus' name, what? So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go there. Here, I am with you according to your heart." Next verse. Then Jonathan said, "Very well. Let us cross over to this man. Listen, you will see from here that it's not a matter of carelessness or doing something that is above you." And that was the next prayer now. He said, "Let's show ourselves." "Very well, let us cross over. Let's just go over to this man and we will show ourselves to them. Because we are waiting for a sign. You are going to pray. But if you give me a sign, that is time." It's not about how hard or impossible. Give me the sign. Give me the sign. Give me the sign. Give me. Listen, watch. He said, "We will go and show ourselves. We will not do anything. We will see what they will say. What they will say, we determine what we are going to do. So that it will not look as if we are just young people that is attempting something bigger than us. Or you are just trying to affirm that you are too anointed. Or you are just, you know, you don't want to." So he said, "What I'm going to do, I will just show myself." It's time to show yourself. Stop hiding. Watch. Look at this scripture. Wait. Listen, listen. "If they say unto us while we are watching, wait until we come to you, then we'll stand in our place and know that God is not in this thing, he's not moving, and not go up to them." Let's see the next verse. "But if they ever say," you know, it's not about heart or whatever, your age or another, whatever. What you need to say is, "If they say to us, come up to us, then we'll go up. For the Lord has delivered them into your own hand. And these shall be a sign." Pray for the next 2 minutes. Say, "Lord, show me a sign. Show me a sign. Show me. If only I can see a sign, then I will take up the job. If you are sending me, show me a sign. If you are telling me to engage, show me a sign." Jumps. 30 more seconds. Show me that sign. Show me. 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 Show me.
Our grace, we put it to work. Pray our power, we put it to work. to work. We will put it to work. We will put it to work. Our strength, we will put it to work. Our praise, we will put it to work. We are power, we will put it to work. We will put it to work. Pay our power, we will put it to work. We will put it to work. We will put it to work. Everything.
Jesus. Mighty.
I decree over your life, every impossible thing has become possible in the name of Jesus.